Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Welcome back in. Hour number four of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. Again, I almost said hour number four of Robbie Stanley. Just completely cut you out of the show.
The Robbie Stanley Show, everybody.
That would have been total disrespect. That would have been certainly on next week's edition of the Rex Rant, just right after me.
Yeah, you would just give me my next one. Also, it's better than the mistake you almost just made with your hashtag, though. So
that's true. We'll leave that one discussion off the air. So thank you for pointing that out.
No problem.
Streaming live here on Periscope and on YouTube and on Twitch as well, talking all things Nashville Predators, and we are pleased to be joined by Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick and Chase, also handles the pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Darren, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Guys, I've got four fingers up. Just signify the final hour. This, you know, like nice. We're a college football
yes.
game.
Yes. Four. I'm doing that now, streaming. Come like, on.
I really thought that would go away by now, but
still
how
there.
Has it lasted this long? Like, honestly.
I thought
like,
Butch Jones would officially be the one to kill it. Like, he kind of puts things into overkill anyway, but it's still hanging on.
It's still hanging on. I mean, when it first happened, I was like, oh, okay, cute. All right, signifies final quarter, guys. Let's go. And then it's like, I didn't think this many years later we would still be talking about four fingers being up going into the fourth quarter. But here we are.
But here we are, and it's going to be a great fourth hour here on the program. Darren, I want to start. We'll get into the trade deadline stuff coming up here in just a few minutes. But I want to start with just the weekend that was for the Nashville Predators. A 3-0 loss to Tampa Bay, where I actually thought they played pretty well in that game. And then a huge response yesterday to get those 2 points, 3-2 in overtime against the Dallas Stars. What did you think of the weekend for the Predators? Did you learn anything about the Predators this weekend that maybe affects how you view the deadline coming up today?
I don't know if I learned anything. Guys, this is what I really love about this team from this weekend. They're a fun team to watch. They're fun. I mean, if you don't enjoy this team, then I guess they're just not going to have you, right? I mean, you're just not going to be a fan. They are fun to watch. This team gets after it. This is what everybody's been looking for. When they've been trending the wrong way, it's pretty clear, you know, what was the biggest difference in why they were trending the wrong way. They had big names, they had big contracts, but they weren't playing the way you have to play at this level. This team is fun, man. They get after it. They get after you. And I agree with you, Robbie. I know it's all about results, and so you can't pat yourself on the back too much on Saturday. You got shut out for the fourth time this season. But they played a really good game, and this just in, a stinking Lightning are pretty good. Vasilevsky is the best goalie in the league, although UC Saros, the way he's playing, boy, he's certainly making a case. He is playing out of his mind. But, you know, Tampa's the defending Stanley Cup champs. And then, you know, Dallas was same type of game. By the way, Saturday was chippy. Sunday was chippy. Both games felt like rivalry games. Both games felt like playoff games. And this team doesn't stand down to anybody. They push back. Now, you know, I don't think they need to have hits like McCarron did late in the game, and the league has spoken and suspended him for 2 games. But I don't think we learned it, but I think we are learning that this is what John Hines has been preaching the entire time since he's taken over. Like, this is what it was going to take, and this team was not playing the way you're supposed to in the National Hockey League to have success. And since they've, you know, this last 15 games where they've gone 12-3, they just get after it. They're fun to watch. The minute they that fourth line, when they jump over the wall, I don't know how you're not glued to watching that fourth line. And how many times do you say that about a team, right?
Yep.
Like, man, that fourth line really gets me excited. They do. They're fun to watch.
No, I totally agree. It was a blast watching those guys last night. And, of course, Olivier is not even in there right now. And Hal Gill brought up with you in the postgame last night, Darren. You know, think about – that line and the tone they set and how useful they could have been 2 years ago, you know, in that playoff series.
No doubt.
You know, I mean, it's like it gives them a chance against a team like this to, you know, to be able to tangle with them. To your point about fun, I would argue this is as fun a stretch for this franchise since the President's Trophy year. I would argue that. Like, even though they won the division the next year, like, it was still kind of angst-filled, like it wasn't going the right way, and then we know it last year, right? Like, okay, so my question to you, and by the way, I'm getting texted, by the way, by Now, I'm used to Stillman texting me, but, I mean, this is a preview of your show. So Willie's texting me now to get on this. Yeah, so we got the whole thing all. So here, let me just throw this question at you.
Why don't we just combine the shows? We'll just go live.
Let's do it.
Let's just combine the shows, and we'll just do five-man show. Boy, my math, Kentucky math. We'll just do a five-man show till 2 o'clock. Hey, let's do it.
The simulcast. DDC plus RR.
That's right. It's a lot of letters.
As long as we can keep Jared out.
That sounds like a very official organization, by the way, the DDC plus RR.
Yes,
I mean, you don't want them on your front porch.
No, you don't. All right, so let me ask you this. Is Granlund the glue holding everything together, the most important forward on a team, and is there any way the Preds make the playoffs without him?
Let me just say this before I answer your question. Tanner Jeannot, we ever brought up, he hit everything but the Zamboni last
yes,
night.
He did, yes.
I mean, that was awesome. Like my walk off line last night was the fourth line had more hits than the Beatles. I mean, they were ever. I mean, they had 12 hits last night. It felt like 34 hits. And probably Dallas would argue that it was just 12. But to answer your question, look, Granlund has been spectacular. Granlund has really been a different player since John Hines has taken over. Even when they didn't play like this, even when they weren't having the success, Granlund, for whatever reason, it has worked on John Hines' watch. Is he the glue, Joe? For me, that's a bit of a stretch. I think, one, when you're playing like this, you're going to have to be doing this as a team. Everybody's going to have to be on the same page. Look, you can tell this is rubbing off. Look, when players go away for any significant amount of time, what do they look like when they come back? They look like their hair's on fire, right? Luke Cunnan missed 13 games. What did he do? He came back, boom. Ryan Ellis missed 20 games. How's he looked these last two games? What I'm getting at is it looks like this team is having an effect, and when you're sitting there watching, you want to get back and be a part of that, right? And I think Ryan Ellis was chomping at the bit to get back and be a part of this. I think Luke Cunnan was chomping at the bit to be a part of this. And so I don't think it's one person. You know, Granlund has been great, but he's not the glue. It's not one person. They've all bought in. They're all playing the right way. All the lines, up and down the lineup, and it doesn't matter because, as we've seen, I mean, it's almost like a riddle or a puzzle every pregame, Joe. We're trying to figure out who's in the lineup, who's out, who's suspended, who's on pro, you know, who's been injured, who's in the lineup. Seven defensemen this game. I mean, it's a puzzle to figure this roster out from game to game, but you know what doesn't change? The way they play. It doesn't matter who you stick in. Tanner Jeannot is a 23-year-old undrafted guy who just played in his second NHL game last night, and we're talking about him. You're not supposed to talk about Tanner Jeannot. But look at the – you think he's bought in? You think he's been sitting there watching this team? He understands what they're doing. So I don't think any one person is the glue. Can they make the playoffs if they make trades today? My answer is yes, because the team has bought in.
You and Willie will have some good arguments today then.
That's right.
So is he disagrees?
Yeah.
Okay.
So get ready.
Good.
That's right.
Great. That'll make for a great show.
Host of Darren Donick Chase also handles the Predators pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. On the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Darren, as you look at this and as you look at the deadline coming up today at 2 o'clock, I've said it for the last few weeks. I still haven't changed. I think a soft sell to some degree, whether it's Halla and Granlund, one of the two is still on the table if I'm David Poile. And especially like you see Nick Foligno get a first-round pick. I mean, that has to get your wheels turning if you're David Poile. But I also, the more time that goes by and the more that I watch this team play, if I had to guess, my guess would be that nothing happens today and that they stand pat at the deadline. What is your best guess as to what happens today for the Predators?
I would lean with what you're saying, and this is what people have to keep in mind, because I've already, you know, it's great to have the fans back in there. It's not to the level that we're used to, but hey, there's an atmosphere finally. I mean, last night, I mean, they got chants going in the third period. I mean, it was awesome. It started to feel like, you know, we're back to, dare I say, normal, you know, kind of close, just better. Like when you hear the chants and people are going crazy trying to will this team to a victory, you have to love it. But but people are, you know, they're coming back into Barrel House, stopping by, saying hello. So you're having the conversations with the fans again. That helps for it to feel normal. And for everybody panicking, saying, oh, my gosh, you've got to do something. You've got to do something. And if they don't do anything, like, oh, my goodness, what does that mean? Well, what does that mean is they can still make trades when the season is over. And I don't rule that out. I don't think really anything is – but when you look at the trade tracker, right now the Bruins just made their big splash. The Penguins just traded for Jeff Carter. The Islanders have been making moves. The Bruins have been making moves. Toronto certainly has been extremely active. Who else is out there? I mean, I guess you hear Winnipeg may still be very interested in a trade, but I kind of feel like the players involved – They've kind of done their work. They may be done. They may be closing up shop. So I don't think there's really a whole lot maybe on the table for David Poile to discuss. So if they don't do anything, or it is, like you said, an extremely soft sell, doesn't mean that they're done. It doesn't mean that this is how this is all going to play out. They can still make moves in the offseason, and I suspect with the expansion draft that if nothing does happen – with players that we've talked about, there'll be discussions in the offseason. I know the expiring contract guys will not be involved in that, but I just, at this point, I don't see much happening because I'm not sure who's the trading partner out there. Can you guys tell me who you see as a trading partner? Like I said, Winnipeg, tell me somebody else.
Colorado maybe in the mix, Vegas, Florida. Florida freed up money the other day, and they've not done anything since then. So you feel like maybe they're a team to keep an eye on today. But to your point,
moves, yeah.
Yeah, but I just there's not a ton left out there.
Are you going to trade to Colorado when they're going to be back in your division next year?
I don't know. Now, if it's Granlund, you're probably less worried about that. In terms of the contract, I mean, he'll be a free agent. But, yeah,
true.
I mean, it's a point you've got to think about for sure.
Yeah. So I agree with you. My gut feeling is, and I've said all along, I've been very consistent with my message. And, you know, I think that whatever you've been talking about before all this started in the last 15 games is what you should still be talking about today if it's right. Now, if it means if the prices have gone down and people just aren't offering the same amount, then you walk away. But – if your plan was whatever it was 3-4 weeks ago, I don't think anything's changed. That's just my opinion. I've been very consistent about it. I've said it with you guys on Mondays, and I've said it on Darren, Donick, and Chase. I think the plan should have always been intact, and I don't know what the plan was, but whatever you were talking about 3 or 4 weeks ago should still be the plan today as we get to the trade. What is it, at 2 o'clock our time?
2 o'clock.
Yeah, 2 o'clock. So – I suspect the way they've been playing, the moves that have already happened, that, yeah, probably going to be non-eventful here in this market.
Darren McFarland, host of Darren, Donick, and Chase, also handles the Nashville Predators pre- and post-game duties for the Predators Radio Network, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexrod. You can catch him
Robbie,
10 to 2.
Can I say this real quick?
You sure
can. I just want to thank both of you for helping me, inspiring me at First Horizon Park, because when I was walking in the concourse and taking the slow walk down the steps and the slow walk onto the field, you guys were the ones hitting, and I was like, holy crap. I better bring it or this show is going to get absolutely embarrassed.
Well, you brought it.
And you guys inspired me to get in there and give it everything I had. In the first 5 swings, I was like, holy crap, should I just walk away right now and just call it a day and just say, Robbie and Rexrod, this show right here, you win batting practice. But you guys inspired me because you brought it, and I was like, I've got to do something. I can't embarrass myself or the show. So thank you.
You were the star, man.
You were.
You were the slugger.
Well, I don't know about the star.
I was trying to chase down some of those rockets.
Yeah.
I just was thankful that I didn't get hurt. That was my biggest goal, that I didn't embarrass myself or get hurt. I felt like I accomplished both, so I felt like that was a huge win. That was a lot of fun.
Let's not kid ourselves. Chase McCabe was the star.
That's true. Fair.
Yeah, for different reasons, yes. But we already knew that. That was already predetermined,
yes,
Ryan.
It was. That was like professional wrestling, as Joe Rexrod pointed out earlier. Predetermined heading into the program.
That script was already written.
That's right. Darren McFarland has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexrod. Darren, appreciate you, brother.
Guys, have a great rest of your show.
Absolutely. Thanks, we'll continue the discussion on the Predators coming up next. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And speaking of the text line, 1025 The Game and T-Mobile have teamed up to give away a hockey home gating party. It's time to text the word GAME to 615-737-1025. That's GAME to 615-737-1025 now to enter for a chance to win a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. You must be 21 or older to enter. We'll be right back here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 1025 The Game. It's easy to forget that there are people in our community who are starving. Hunger in the United States is at an all-time high due to COVID-19, and people who have never had to wait in line for food have to do so now. People like you and people like me. So help us during this Feeding America Radiothon this Wednesday. You can help by donating at radiocares.org or text radio to 662-266, and a donation link will be sent to your phone. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Leading up to the trade deadline today at 2 o'clock in the National Hockey League. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, it was an interesting point you brought up with Darren in the last segment, talking about Granlund and this, you know, Willie in the conversation as well. Is he the guy holding this thing together? We've also got a point like that on our text line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Shane from Ashland City text in, I can't believe what I'm listening to. The man is holding the team together and making plays left and right, and the media is saying trade him for a first or second round pick. This is talking about Granlund. So what do you think of what Shane has thrown out there? Granlund right now holding this group together, and there's no way you could trade him for a first or second round pick.
Willie, is Shane from Ashland City your burner? Your burner texter account?
Could be.
Holding it together might be a little overstated.
He's playing very well.
Playing very well.
No, I don't know that I would go as far as to say he's holding things together.
Like, so last night, it's socially distanced from Vingan. You know, he's way over here. But at one point, I was like, I mean, look at all the little things that Granlund does for this team, like in every facet of the game.
Yeah.
Terrific. But, I mean, a first or second round pick? That's a pretty valuable commodity. And here's the thing. I think one guy in particular, because I made the point to Willie, okay, what about Forsberg comes back? What about Deshaun, Tolvanen? And his point back was, I don't want to take away that this is going to be a good discussion with those guys later. His point, you know, they don't do all the different things that Granlund does. Okay, you know who can, though? I believe can, should, and will. When he comes back, we don't know when that'll be. But Matt Duchene, when he comes back, if that's what it is, if they trade Granlund, and now Duchene, here you go, you got your spot back, centering that line. I would think that, like a lot of people on this team, that we've had this discussion with John Hines on here, a lot of people have talked about it, all the stuff that has happened, I would think that that would inspire everybody coming back in this lineup to be a little bit more attentive to other things.
Well, I think so, too. Now, I will say, I think the skill sets are different between Granlund and Duchene.
Not saying it's the exact same thing.
Right.
But Duchene can...
There needs to be a pep in the step when he comes back.
And there better be. And I think there... And he knows the situation. And he knows the expansion drafts coming. You know, all that stuff.
Yep.
He knows the score. So I feel like you've seen this impact. And again, like I personally, we've had the Duchene Johansson argument. I feel like Duchene was doing a lot of what you want him to do before he got hurt, and he was not getting the results. At some point, you got to get the results. But I feel like he was creating a lot. And I feel like if he comes back here soon, he can get in there and give you – it's different, but he can compensate to some extent and maybe in some ways be a little bit better.
But now Johansson's vibing, so
that's true.
They're in a much better spot than they were.
Robbie, sure. Robbie and Ryan vibing.
Just vibing.
We're vibing, Robbie.
That's right. Vibing all day long. At Hall underscore
Score five
Pittman.
Goals. Score five goals.
At Hall underscore Pittman on Periscope says, Granlund skates 20 minutes a night, is on power play one and PK one. He was the only forward on both 5-on-3 PKs. He might not be the glue that holds it all together, But, man, that guy does it all.
Yeah.
He
does. And from that perspective, the PK – yeah. No, I mean, I'm not saying it's the exact same thing. You're going to lose something you're not going to exactly replace if you move him. But let's take the big – take step back a little bit. Take the big view of everything. If it's a first, I don't think you can't even debate it. Right?
First, I mean, that's a heck of a – if it's a first-round pick, I don't know how you walk away
from that. If it's a second, I'd do it. If it's a third, I'd think about it.
MASH709 on YouTube says, I say the Preds stay put. As a Leafs fan, I'd love Granlund, but they should keep their assets for at least this season. So the Leafs fan getting Nick Foligno feels better about leaving Granlund to the wayside now.
Great. Thanks for weighing in.
Absolutely.
Preds, you know, stand pat. And then lose all your expiring contracts, and the Leafs are fine now.
Kyle on Periscope says, we need to re-sign Granlund this offseason. I'm sorry. There's nothing to apologize for. Maybe they will.
No, listen, that's part of the all the moving parts here, including how soon are guys getting back from injury, what are you offered, and how do you feel about if the Preds feel good right now that he would want to come back here, like he would lean toward coming back here, regardless of what the market says, then that's different. That changes it.
When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Nashville Predators, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Also have an update to the poll question of the day as well, and maybe some news on Jadeveon Clowney. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Starting next week, listen to The Game every weekday for your chance to win $1,000. It's The Game's 1K payday. Listen for the keywords at 9, noon, and 3. And when you hear it, go to thegamenashville.com and enter the keyword for a shot at $1,000. So exciting opportunities coming up next week here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We have a lot of gifts for the people. A
lot of gifts for the people coming up. You get to watch our pretty faces now on live streaming. We get gifts for the people coming up. It's a good time.
Free beer Friday.
Yeah. It's a good time to be a listener here at ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The 1K payday.
Yeah.
Preds tickets.
I'm just kind of sitting here and taking this all in.
We've had a lot of people asking about your Virginia Tech shirt or your hoodie today.
Oh, yeah?
Drew Chester making fun of it, saying it's from the 1980s. We've had a lot of people asking why you're wearing a Virginia Tech sweatshirt.
Go Hokies, baby. I'm a Hokies fan.
How long have you had that sweatshirt?
My little brother went to Virginia Tech.
There you go.
He bought me this.
I like
it. It's not from the 80s.
I'm just telling you what people said.
It looks like it's from the 80s.
It is a little ragged, isn't it? Yeah. Sorry.
This is our time to get back at Rex Road for him making fun of my ragged hats like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see a couple holes in that sweatshirt.
Wow.
Are there? Are there holes?
He's taking it to the next
level. It's a little bit ragged around the neck here.
Taking a cigarette and just sticking it through there. Yeah.
Go Hokies, though. Go Hokies, and sorry, Glennon. I hate the Wahoos.
That's right. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caleb texting in, why would you want to make any moves at all right now? This team is buzzing and playing very well. I wouldn't break anything up. This team, even making the playoffs, is not a bust. Go Preds. There are people that just totally dismiss the idea of a sell of any kind now with the run they've been on. And I understand it. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I understand it.
Yeah. I think you're a little bit prisoner of the moment. You're caught up in what's going on, and that's fine. I mean, if you think that, you know, that Granlund, selling Granlund off means you are just going to fall apart, which apparently Willie thinks, I think there are a lot of reasons why you would want to see this through, make the playoffs. Business reasons, and also I think there is a little bit of reward the players who have done this for what they've done. Although I think that still has to take a backseat to the, you know, betterment of the organization. If you can get assets, you've sold off assets for a long time. The overall trend is still not the where you want it to be going. Maybe it starts coming back because of these young guys. Maybe it does. There's a lot of promise, I think, with some of the guys who have been out there. But if you have an expiring contract, Porth brought this up last segment. Trade Granlund and then sign him anyway in the offseason. You could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. Look, it's fun. This team is a blast right now. 12 of 15, and they are very fun to watch. And it's interesting to think about a team last night Again, what was their shot total? Do you know? 17, 18 shots?
Didn't they have like 13 with 5 minutes left in the third period?
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
They ended up, I believe, with 20.
Did they? Okay.
I believe.
But I looked up, again, said to Vingan, like, they have 13 shots. So a team that has 13 shots after...
20 shots, yes.
Okay.
Just double check.
So after 55 minutes of hockey, they had 13 shots, and they were a blast to watch.
Yeah.
Right? So,
yeah.
I mean... And that's great. They are harder to play against. They're like the identity is kind of what they talked about being, but they weren't at all for the first 2 months, right?
My thing with Granlund too, and it feels like we're just bagging on Granlund, and that's unfortunate because he has been really good. But for the last 6 years, you've spent the trade deadline day giving up assets to go get players that were either worth it or, in most cases, not worth it. And if you don't do anything today, you're essentially giving up an asset to for a playoff spot.
We think. I mean, maybe the offer is not there.
Yeah. Right.
Right. But we don't know the offer.
I would say you're right. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. If you look at it that way, but yeah, we don't know the offer. We don't know the injury situation, people coming back. We don't know conversations that may lead David Poile to believe that Granlund just really wants to be here down the road. We don't know how it's going to go with the expansion draft. A lot of factors.
A lot of things we don't know.
Yeah, a lot of things we don't really know anything, except that this is an awesome sweatshirt.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, trade Joey and Phillip. Get pieces for the future. This recent run of success has happened without Phillip Forsberg. Let's get a return. They're not trading Phillip Forsberg.
Trade Joey and Phillip. What if that happened today? Johansson and Forsberg out the door.
He wouldn't be vibing anymore.
Colorado.
Yeah. Just
give them all your players. Yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that doesn't happen today.
Now, Johansson in some form could be elsewhere.
Could be.
This offseason. That's possible. Yeah, Forsberg's got to be on that do not touch list, right?
You would think so.
Saying they should
as
trade
well
him
he should be.
Just because they have been winning without him is way too simplistic.
By the way, they were also winning with him before he got hurt.
Correct.
Like this did not start when Phillip Forsberg went out.
That's like
it's kind of in the middle of it.
That's a take that's on the level of actually this could be a good rant. The this amazing college team could beat this pro team. That's one of my all-time favorites. Like, oh, Bama could crush the Browns. No.
You don't think they could beat the Lions?
60. Even the dreadful Lions would beat Alabama.
There was a mighty team that will not yield.
Yes. There was some hesitation there.
The Lions would be a heck of a college football team.
Yes, they would. Yes, they would.
Dominant.
Let's update the poll question at 1025 The Game on Twitter. Preds fans, what do you want to see the team do before today's deadline at 2 o'clock? Do you want to see them sell? Do you want to see them stand pat? Do you want to see them buy? Right now, 45% say stand pat, 42% say sell, and 13% say they would like to see the Predators buy
Trolls.
At the trade deadline.
Trolls, you're lying. I can't. So stand pat's going to win.
Stand pat's going to win. Looks like it's going to win.
That is an upset to me.
It's an upset to me, too.
Somewhat upsetting, too, but I get it to a point.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dan texts in, have you noticed Granlund's time on ice lately? He's too much a cog in the machine now with this thing running. Look, he's important. He's important. I don't think there's any question about that. He's important. He has looked night and day from the time John Hines has took over here from Peter Laviolette. I mean, it doesn't even look like the same player. Now, granted, he didn't look like the same player coming from Minnesota to here. He looks more like the player he was in Minnesota now that he's here under John Hines.
Well, the thing that I didn't realize, and if you know, obviously you're going to have that Fiala Granlund thing that is not going to be close unless they keep Granlund. But
right.
I didn't realize he was so good at things like the penalty kill.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, offensively, obviously it didn't go well, especially under Laviolette. But I did not realize he was such a solid all-around player as he is. He's essential, like, basically in every facet. So, I get it. It's a big loss. I don't know that he's the linchpin of the whole thing. It'd be a big loss.
Christopher on Periscope says, are we perhaps overhyping the Predators? The majority of the opponents have been the Wings, the Hawks, the Blue Jackets, and the Stars. They've barely played against the Canes, Lightning, and Panthers in this stretch.
Yeah. That's fair, too. Now, I thought that they played a winning... level of hockey game against Tampa Bay Saturday, and they still lost 3-0. But that's fair, too. I mean, they're done with Detroit. They got 3 straight against Chicago. This could certainly still turn the other way on them. And 960, or right thereabouts for Saros in this stretch. That's not – even if he's you know, your starting goalie, he's really good, he's taking it to another level, he's not 960.
No.
He's not going to be 960.
That would be a record.
Yeah, that'd be some kind of a record or something. Yeah.
Yes, it would.
10 of their last 12 wins have come against Dallas, Chicago, or Detroit.
Yep.
And again, like to me, Dallas, Chicago, those are reputable wins.
Absolutely.
So yeah. Take the dead things out of there. I'm sorry to rip on all the Detroit teams.
And look, no matter what happens this week against Tampa and then the 2 road games in Carolina, next week the 3-game set against Chicago, I mean, that could be your season in terms of the postseason.
So if, yeah. you know, if you're looking at this today and it's like, look, it's really important across the whole organization, it's really important to make the playoffs. And if you know and you're David Poile, yeah, those guys aren't going to be back for Chicago. Forsberg, Tolvanen, whoever, Deshane. You know, so it's going to be like a little bit too much of a young replacement-filled lineup and no Granlund. I mean, that has to be a factor if you don't get a first-round pick as an offer.
Yeah. So who's of the deadline as a whole, who's the top guy that's left? I mean, Foligno is gone. Taylor Hall is gone. David Savard's gone on defense. Like, who's left out there that's a top target if you're a team around the league looking to buy? Like, is Granlund the guy at forward? Is he the best one left? Now, we don't know what the future looks like for a guy like Ryan Getzlaff. There's a guy in St. Louis is interesting to me because Mike Hoffman has not worked out well lately, and he was a healthy scratch for a period. And St. Louis has started to play a lot better as of late over the course of the last 3 or 4 games. Do they have a place for Mike Hoffman? Does he stay there? Like, there's been some chatter about maybe them selling him off and moving on from him. Like, there's going to be some interesting names floated out there today that I'm interested to see what happens there.
You didn't mention
Ricard Raquel in Anaheim as well. Pretty good player.
You didn't mention Matthias Ekholm.
He's still on the big board. Yeah, he is. I'd be surprised at this point.
That'd be stunning.
Would it? We've gone from that likely to happen to now stunning. I agree. I think it would be.
Be stunning in that room, too.
Yeah.
Like if Granlund gets traded today, look, obviously, I think there'll be some people who are upset in the room. But also, everybody knows how this works, especially with expiring contracts. If you were to sell a foundational player like Ekholm today, I think that would be
very surprising.
That'd be a kick in the gut for some people.
I think it would be as well. We'll continue to keep you updated all day long here on ESPN 102.5 The Game with the trade deadline coming at 2 p.m. Central Time today here in the National Hockey League. When we come back, some NFL news to get into. Jadeveon Clowney looks like he could be on the verge of finding a new home. And there was also an atrocious call last night in Major League Baseball that really has you asking the question, like, what are umpires and officials looking at in today's world of sports? We'll talk about all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Joe Rex Road, Lang Dixon on Twitter said, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the 80s retro. So if that was an 80s retro shirt from Virginia Tech, nothing wrong with it.
Oh, I totally agree. Now, if it were the 80s, this sweatshirt, it would be like a nighty for me. You know,
yes.
About 150 pounds lighter, but yeah, something like that.
I don't think it's quite that much.
Actually,
I don't think so.
Okay. Graduating from high school to today, I'm 85 pounds heavier.
Okay. That's a big difference between 150.
Yeah, man, that's true. Yeah.
What about
from I was a very small child for some of the 80s.
Yes.
What about that?
I'm very young.
You are.
That photo, circa 2000.
Yeah.
That we've tweeted out before.
This would have been a billowy. Yeah, this would have. Yeah. I mean, that was like, what would that have been? My gosh, that was.
Did you say that was some Lansing newspaper joint or something?
You look svelte. Well,
that was the Lansing State Journal. Yeah, that was my headshot at the Lansing State Journal 20 years ago. And it was many, many pounds ago.
Joseph, this is a sad day here on the program. It looks like Jadeveon Clowney's time with the Tennessee Titans could officially be coming to an end. The Cleveland Browns progressing in talks on a deal with Jadeveon Clowney, according to Diana Russini from ESPN. And it looks like a deal could be completed soon. Clowney visited with the Browns last month and apparently is visiting with them again this week. Your reaction to Jadeveon Clowney potentially signing with the Cleveland Browns?
It was always the Browns. It was always the Browns. Finally, you know?
Joe's Clowney.
Yeah, Joe's Clowney. I will miss you, Jadeveon. But I want to find this Twitter account that, like, Titans media people have been tweeting for weeks that is saying, oh, it's done deal. Like, why anybody thought the Titans were going to, like, re-sign Clowney as their three?
Makes no sense.
Yeah. So this whoever's Twitter account this is, need to bring it out, and that person needs to be shamed.
Is it Heidi from Dixon?
Could I don't be. Know. It could be.
Yeah, what's Heidi going to do now? If Clowney ends up in Cleveland, the material is going to dry up around here. It's not going to be your Clowney anymore.
Oh, she'll make fun of me for other things. Okay. Plus, Howdy has – Howdy? Howdy, Heidi. Heidi has four ladders.
That's true.
Gosh, you got me all flustered, Heidi.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so
I wonder how much money they're going to give Clowney. That's my thing. Like, they tried to sign him to a multi-year deal last year at around $18 million. Like, where does Clowney's contract come in? I'm fascinated to see what that looks like.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's got to be
does it?
Got to be so incentive-laden, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Oh,
just
yeah.
based on
yeah.
participation. I mean, it's – yeah, I can't wait to see.
I can't either. So we'll see what happens on that front. It looks like Jadeveon Clowney progressing closer and closer to a deal with the Cleveland Browns. So Myles Garrett on one side, Jadeveon Clowney on the other side. Watch him stay healthy and have like 9.5 sacks
right.
for the Browns.
Just wreck games just left and right. People. Yeah.
Joe, did you see this last night in Major League Baseball? It's a game, and this was all over Twitter in the middle of the Preds game last night. The Braves and the Phillies. The Phillies end up winning 7-6, coming from behind. But the story in the game was a call at home plate for the Phillies. Now, he was originally called safe. I believe this was Alec Bohm. Alec Bohm? How do you say his name, Porth?
I think it's Bohm.
Alex, so I had it right the first time. Alec Bohm sliding home on the eventual winning run as Travis d'Arnaud for the Braves applies the tag. He gets his knee in front of the plate, blocks the plate. And I will admit, at first glance, it looked like he was safe. Like in live action, it looks like he's safe, but that's what replay's for. You go to the replay, you check it out, and there, a plate umpire, Lance Barrett, he called him safe. And there were at least two camera angles that I think clearly showed that he was out and did not touch home plate.
He never touched the plate.
And should have been called out. Like, it was pretty cut and dry. But the replay comes and goes. They come back. They call him safe. Nothing gets changed. I don't know what they were looking at. Like, I was blown away that you go back, you look at that on replay, and you come back with, you still think that he's safe at home? Like, I guess they thought maybe, like, his big toe or something makes contact with the plate. It was an atrocious call last night. Like, if you're going to go to replay, apply the replay. Like, what are you looking at?
It's like, and so then people respond to stuff like this and say, we got to get rid of replay. Well, no. Seriously, imagine if we didn't have replay, right, in sports. Like, how many touchdowns that are called touchdowns before that clearly aren't?
Yeah.
You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, but it's infuriating that you have people whose job is just to look at something that we can all see, and then they don't see the same thing. Like, how? How does this happen? It's like the Preds penalty. I know that's subjective compared with this, but, like, I still am mad about that from last week. If you want to go back, since I'm wearing a Virginia Tech sweatshirt, sorry, Glennon, hope you're listening. I mean, that ridiculous call in the national championship game 2 years ago where he knocks the ball out of the guy's hand. Great, we saw what happened. Oh, let's slow it down to see if it touched a fingernail on the way out. Ridiculous. But – ridiculous.
It's just part.
There's no but.
No. Our friend Drew Chester texts in on my text line. Also says, the Braves was an atrocious call. The Reds had a homer that hit a chair and bounced back in on Friday, called a ground rule double, and they even went to replay on it and still got it wrong on the play. So, I mean, that one's a little bit different. Sometimes umpire discretion on the ball going over the fence, whether or not fan interference is involved, like that could be a little different. But
the one last night was much worse.
Yeah.
Especially given the situation, because the Phillies won the game because of that.
Yeah. 7-6 final. I just don't know how you look at the replay and determine that he was – like, sometimes – and I feel like this is a problem in baseball more so than in other sports. Umpires are stubborn. And, like, they want their call to be right. And, I think it's ridiculous in baseball anyway that you can just toss players for the heck of tossing players anyway. Like, have some thick skin. You're getting paid to umpire a sport. Like, unless somebody's chasing you with a bat or just cussing you out left and right up and down the field – deal with it.
Chasing you with a bat.
Yeah, like people are they're coming to watch
that's
the players.
Ejectable.
Yeah, you can eject somebody for that. They're coming to watch the players play. They're not coming to watch the umpires put on a show. And too often, I think umpires put on a show in Major League Baseball. So I've got a problem with that anyway. But it feels like they are like looking for reasons to be right. Like, oh, I made the call. I've got to be right. And that's ridiculous. Just look at the play. It's obvious. Change the call. It's no big deal. You missed it in real time. It happens. Change the call.
I'd say that was a Rob rant. What do you think?
A little bit.
A little bit of a Rob rant.
We had the Rex rant at 7:45, and we have a Rob rant at 9:45.
Hey, maybe that's how we'll close the show every
time. Maybe we should do it that way.
Huh? Yeah, maybe so.
One of the funny things, though, about that last night was when, obviously, when they upheld the call, the Braves bench lost their ever-loving minds.
Oh, yeah, which they should have.
And Brian Snicker came out to argue it, and it was humorous because he's got his mask on, and he keeps... He pulls it down, and then he tries to pull it back up, and then it's almost like covering his eyes.
Yeah.
And then he is like, he can't get his mask right, and he's just losing his mind as he's trying to adjust his mask. It was pretty funny. Like I'm sure Braves fans didn't think it was funny.
Like the Kim Mulkey mask zoom.
Ooh. Yeah, that was something. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Keith texted in. Now, I told you about this earlier. In the Rex Rant segment, Keith's idea was Rexpose. Which, again, a lot of you can do with your last name. This one, a walk-off with Jadeveon Clowney, now potentially headed to the Cleveland Browns. Keith says, Joe Davey gone. Keith is great at this. Keep him coming, Keith. I'll take these
Keith
names.
Is great with that joke.
Yeah, he is.
Joe Davey gone. And Rexpose.
Yes.
Keith bringing it.
Keith is bringing the noise today.
Didn't Keith come up with Rex Croak?
Oh, yeah.
I don't want Rex Croak anymore after what Yarn Croak did in the shootout. Don't do that slowdown stuff, man.
Yeah.
Skate with some speed.
Been hanging out around Johansson too long. Yarncroak's vibing, baby. Come on.
Vibing.
Everybody's vibing.
Figure eights.
That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll keep you updated all day long here on 102.5 The Game on the NHL trade deadline. Darren Donica Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We're vibing, Robbie.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.